You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Let's start with the familiar. Facebook has 2.5 billion users in the world. Facebook-owned WhatsApp has over 1.5 billion users worldwide, with over 200 million users in India alone. India has 480 million internet users, second only to China. And according to Forrester Research, the number is projected to grow to 737 million by 2022. But here's something that may be unfamiliar, and something that is bound to make Indian mothers everywhere very proud indeed. India leads the world in remittances. People sent $69 billion home to India in 2017, and according to some other estimates, about $80 billion in 2018. The total global market for remittances is about half a trillion, so 500 million of that, more than one-sixth, is cornered by Indians. Now, put two and two together, and the answer you find is, why not use WhatsApp to send money? Now, that's a bit of a leap, but it follows. It's not cryptic, it's cryptocurrency. Well, stablecoin, to be specific. The New York Times and Bloomberg reported recently that Facebook is working on making a cryptocurrency that will allow users to transfer money on WhatsApp, with the initial focus on the vast remittances market in the vastly WhatsApped country of India. The Facebook stablecoin, what we know about it so far, what kind of advantages the social media platform might have over other conventional cryptocurrencies, will Facebook succeed after all? And is this a cryptocurrency after all? These are some of the questions we will address on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control with me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive podcast series. Facebook to introduce its own cryptocurrency.
So what's the latest? That's the first thing we'll address. The New York Times reported on the 28th of February that the world's biggest messaging companies are hoping to succeed where cryptocurrency startups have failed, bringing mainstream consumers to the alternative world of digital coins. Now, PayPal revolutionized the way we think of money transfers. Venmo has made money transfers by phone almost an everyday part of life in America. Additionally, both can move across international borders. And now, Zuckerberg wants in on some of that action. The Times spoke to five anonymous sources who, it claims, have been briefed on the super secret project that Facebook is undertaking. Facebook, Telegram, and Signal are among the companies that want their respective fingers in the digital currency pie. The intended customer bases are, to put it mildly, massive. 2.5 billion for Facebook, 300 million for Telegram. Signal, a chat platform popular among technologists and privacy advocates, has a coin in the works, as do the largest messaging platforms in South Korea, that is Kakao, and Japan, that is LINE. The reach that these messaging platforms have is bound to give a distinct edge to them over the other cryptocurrencies in the market. The subject of our discussion is the Facebook project. It is also, by a long mile, the most anticipated one of the lot. Not least because of the reach it has. Although rumors about a Facebook digital coin have been swirling in tech corridors for a while, Bloomberg in fact wrote about it in December, it is only with the New York Times report that there is a confirmation of what is coming. Facebook is developing a stable coin, a type of digital currency pegged to the value of traditional currencies to minimize the volatility we have come to see in other cryptocurrencies. It is, in that regard, and ironically enough, similar to Gemini Dollar, which is a tradable token pegged to the American dollar introduced by the Winklevoss twins, Zuckerberg's arch enemies. Time perhaps also to rewatch The Social Network. Reports also indicate that Zuckerberg wants to go bigger than the dollar. The Times said, and I quote, "Facebook is looking at pegging the value of its coin to a basket of different foreign currencies rather than just the dollar." Three people briefed on the plans said. Facebook could guarantee the value of the coin by backing every coin with a set number of dollars, euros, and other national currencies held in Facebook bank accounts. Unquote. So the immediate question everybody's asking is this a kind of cryptocurrency? The strict answer to that question would be, well, not sure yet, because we do not know whether Facebook would cede control over this digital currency. The certain departure with stablecoin is, of course, that it would allow consumers to hold it and pay for things without worrying about the value of the coin rising and falling, which is a feature that makes it unattractive to speculators who have been the main audience for cryptocurrencies thus far. So that's one way a stablecoin diverges from cryptocurrencies. Now, stablecoins have proved to be popular recently, the failures of Tether and Basis notwithstanding, because the value of these coins only fluctuates at the same rate as the currency that they're tied to, which in most cases, as of now, is the American dollar, or, if it is in the case of Facebook coin, a basket of currencies eventually. According to the New New York Times, Facebook has gotten far enough into the process to approach multiple crypto exchanges about potentially listing the currency. But what the Times does not tell is how Facebook plans to resolve the trade-off between decentralization and accessibility, a bane that has troubled all existing cryptocurrencies. In a statement, Facebook did not directly address its work on a digital coin, but the Times report talks about the work that has gone behind it. It seems straight out of a thriller. Maybe not, but hey, I love a bit of corporate intrigue. It is no secret that Facebook has been wanting to make a mark in financial services. The stablecoin is not its first offering in the space. It had earlier moved fast and broke some of the things it built because, well, they simply did not take off. Facebook Credits was launched in 2011 and went bust 2 years later. Facebook Gifts came about to be in 2012 and came about to not be 2 years later. Then there was Messenger Payments, which was launched in 2015 in the US and expanded to Europe 2 years later. Now that one still seems to be breathing. So what then is new about this digital currency? Well, it's on blockchain. That is the big difference. But is blockchain even necessary for this? Couldn't a traditional centralized system, much like PayPal, have been sufficient? Well, that is a relevant and a very important question. We will address that in just a bit, but let's get into this clandestine operation that seems straight out of a John Grisham novel. The firm, Facebook, has already recruited a team of 50 engineers to work on this project. Industry website The Block has been keeping track of the steady stream of new job listings for the project. David Marcus, the former president of PayPal, was hired by Facebook to run its Messenger app in 2015. In May, Marcus became the head of the company's blockchain initiatives, details about which have not been discussed in public ever. Last month, the company acquired the team behind Chainspace, which is a blockchain startup. Clearly, Facebook has been doing the peacock dance about its interest in blockchain. Like many other companies, Facebook is exploring ways to leverage the power of blockchain technology, said a company spokesperson in a statement. It continued, "This new small team is exploring many different applications. We don't have anything further to share." Unquote. Cute. Facebook is also looking to overhaul its messaging infrastructure, thereby connecting three of its biggest properties, Messenger, WhatsApp, and Instagram. That integration could take more than a year, and in the end, would extend the reach of Facebook's digital currency across the 2.7 billion people who use at least one of these three apps each month. This monolithic chat structure comes with its own set of problems, but that is another story for another day. But as far as this stablecoin on blockchain is concerned, we have to ask the inevitable question. Problem kya hai? Problems to bahut saare hai. Assuming that the stablecoin ends up being used by a vast section of humanity, there are some problems we can already expect. Of course, there is a real possibility of the whole venture being a flop. There is precedent for it. Remember Facebook Gifts, Facebook Credits? We spoke about it. They went bust. For the purpose of our exploration today, let's assume that the world takes to this Facebook currency. What are the problems? Let's address three of the biggest. Now, number one, the essence of cryptocurrency is decentralization and the transparency of transactions. Will the Facebook currency be decentralized and transparent? Now that is a problem. The New York Times addresses that question. It went on to say, and I quote, "The big question facing Facebook is how much control it would retain over the digital coin. If Facebook is responsible for approving every transaction and keeping track of every user, it is not clear why it would need a blockchain system." Unquote. One reason why blockchain could be useful is less regulatory burden on the company. The Times went on to say, working with cryptocurrency exchanges would take at least some of the regulatory burden off Facebook, since the exchanges would be responsible for holding the digital coins and vetting customers. But if Facebook goes with a coin it does not entirely control, it'll be harder for the company to make money from transaction fees and easier for criminals to use the coin for illegal purposes. Unquote. Also, Facebook putting out a product it cannot completely control does not quite sound like Facebook, let's face it. As Phil Chen, the man behind the HTC Exodus 1 blockchain smartphone, told the newspaper The Independent, and I quote, "Mark Zuckerberg doesn't have an idea how to implement it where Facebook does not own it. Cryptocurrencies are open, decentralized, censorship-resistant, and borderless. This is completely antithetical to the current business model of big technology companies whose walled gardens mean they essentially own their customers, unquote. Blockchain networks like Bitcoin or Ethereum are truly decentralized, meaning the onus of securing their coins against loss or theft rests entirely on the users. Remember the case of Jerry Cotton, the CEO of the Canadian crypto exchange Quadriga, who died and took with him the keys to access $137 million of cryptocurrencies kept in cold storage to mitigate the risk of hacks? Now that money is gone. If the hard drive containing your coins gets damaged and that is the only copy you have, those coins, dear brothers and sisters, are lost forever. If a hacker gets a hold of your keys and steals your coins, there is no reversing it either. Clearly, participation on such platforms like Bitcoin or Ethereum requires a little more tech know-how and savvy. But when you're Facebook and you're offering this service to hundreds of millions of users, can you expect them to have the same savvy and the same tolerance to accept the lack of recourse in case of misuse? I imagine that's a hard no. Now, my mother uses Facebook, and to her, blockchain is what she would go to the jeweler for, and not to my software engineer brother. She doesn't have a clue what blockchain is. And if she is given access to this stablecoin and something goes wrong, I assure you, Mark Zuckerberg himself will hear about it. Facebook will have to police the payment ecosystem for fraudulent activities. Regulators from across the world will no doubt demand that Facebook vet its users, make records accessible to law enforcement, undo fraudulent transactions, and comply with banking regulations much like any other conventional payment networks would have to. So Facebook will clearly have to address all of these issues, which brings me to the point that yes, blockchain was chosen in order to decrease regulatory burden, but looks like it's not going to serve its purpose after all. In view of all these issues, I'm still not sure why this is going to be built on a blockchain. Wired, the tech magazine, noted, and I quote, "In any case, a stablecoin backed by real money is inherently centralized to an extent. The supply of the coins would have to be matched by Facebook's ample coffers and carefully managed," unquote. So, why blockchain? So if any of you tech-savvy blockchain nerds are out there and you can tell me why exactly this is going to be built on a blockchain, I would be very happy to hear it. Now, what is the second problem? Privacy. Facebook does not exactly have the greatest reputation for respecting users' privacy. Something that has come up time and again, only to reach somewhat of a huge climax during the 2016 American presidential elections and the eventual congressional hearings. If users were to end up buying Facebook currency on exchanges, Facebook will have to conduct due diligence in some form of KYC, know your customer, in pursuance of regulations across the world before it can let users send or receive coins across the Messenger, WhatsApp, Instagram integrated platform. Now, it follows that users will then have to dole out even more information to Facebook than they already have, your address, your ID proof, and so on. How will Facebook justify asking for more personal information when what we've already provided to them has been so catastrophically misused? Alex Stamos, a former Facebook security chief, weighed in on the matter. And who better to talk about it? He said, and I quote, "On one end, a completely private and encrypted messaging service tied to an open Zerocoin-like ZK-SNARK-backed cryptocurrency and backed by a tech giant would instantly become the go-to mechanism for global money laundering, tax evasion, and just general criming. On the other, without mathematically backed privacy features, having all of this data in one place would be a massive source of security and privacy risk, and a huge boon for countries with leverage over Facebook to get data access. Wow, it's going to be an interesting couple of years," unquote. He didn't just stop there, he continued. "This explains how Facebook plans to monetize a unified 2 billion user end-to-end encrypted messaging service. I can't think of a tech project with a more important privacy and safety balancing act than this one. I hope my friends working on it start public discussions on that," unquote. There's a saying that goes, if you're not paying for it, you are the product. Facebook's whole modus operandi for wealth generation is advertising. Remember that chilling line from Zuckerberg's testimony during the congressional hearings? He said, "We run ads, Senator. That is how we make money." Chilling. Now, the business model of this company relies almost exclusively on monetizing the extraordinary amount of data it gathers from all of us. In this scenario, the inevitable question it will have to answer is this yet another ploy to grab more data? And that is not an invalid question. Now, the third problem is Facebook standing at the cusp of being the world's largest central banking system. It looks a lot like it, doesn't it? If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it probably is a duck. Now, just before the Civil War, by way of history examples, and way before the Federal Reserve came into existence, there were 8,000 different kinds of money. Imagine buying a pint of milk in those times. Too confusing. Might even have pushed you to becoming a vegan back then. Everyone from private banks to drugstores to coal mines to, of course, railroads offered their own kind of currency back then. Now, cut to the 21st century. The tech barons of our time have taken on the roles of the robber barons of those days. Lance Inc. asks that very question. What do banks do? They print money backed by a basket of foreign currency reserves. If Facebook decides to back the value of its own digital currency with a basket of foreign currencies, then it could potentially become the largest central bank in the world. Unquote. Joshua Gans, a professor of management at the University of Toronto, asked whether Facebook could achieve its reported aims without starting to look a lot like a private central bank. It's tricky to maintain a peg to undulating real-world currencies, he points out, and to police the network to make sure people don't game exchange rates or make a run on the currency. He said, and I quote, basically, if you were Facebook, you'd want to go to someone like former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen and say, can you run this? And nothing less than that would be acceptable, unquote. And that is a very valid problem as well. If this is the scale at which you're going to be operating, what it requires also is personnel worthy of that kind of scale. And it is not an unreasonable question to ask, is Facebook trying to become a private central bank? Are there any advantages? Now, we've taken a look at the three of the biggest problems that this might come with, but are there advantages after all? Sure, the trouble with stablecoin is not many businesses accept them as of now, so there is still a need to convert them into fiat currency in order to actually buy things like that quart of milk or pumpkin spice latte or your posh panipuri. Facebook could offer goods and services for purchase themselves in exchange for Facecoin, but how would that be any different from that failed project called Facebook Credits? Facebook has obviously thought about this, which is why they're trying it out first with remittances, where they see a distinct advantage. It's an arena that involves about $500 billion, a sixth of which involves diaspora Indians sending money back home. If Facebook could make remittances cheaper and faster, that would be revolutionary, and indeed, a recipe for huge success. But once you send those face coins home to India, wouldn't I still have to convert them into rupees? Yes, and that is still a problem, but one that can be overcome in one of two ways. Number one, establishing partnerships with companies who will accept the Facebook currency themselves, thus making the currency valuable and legal tender outside of Facebook's walled garden. Number two way is establishing relationships with cryptocurrency exchanges worldwide, or better yet, become or sponsor exchanges themselves. Now this idea came from TechCrunch's very entertaining John Evans. Now imagine if your relative could send Facebook currency to your PhonePe or Paytm or whatever else that you use, and et voila, digital money in your wallet at the speed of the internet from America. The local exchange partner converts the Facebook currency to the rupee, and it functions much like any other digital wallet would. Having access to a stable basket of currencies on your phone could be a godsend to people living and, frankly, suffering in countries like Venezuela or Zimbabwe. And as a corollary to those points that I raised in point B, which is to establish relationships with cryptocurrency exchanges worldwide or becoming or sponsoring exchanges yourself, you know what else could get easy as 1, 2, 3? Shopping. E-commerce is likely to get a huge boost should Facebook clear all the several hundred hurdles along its way. You see something, you like something, well, hit buy. Pay by Facebook coin. Two-step process. No intervening third-party sites, no entering debit card, credit card numbers, no more waiting for OTPs, no more remembering PayPal account details, yada, yada, yada. What we could be looking at, if all goes well, is the integration of social networks, instant messaging, money transfers, and e-commerce on a truly large global scale. As for the cryptocurrency market, some analysts feel that the Facebook currency may normalize the idea of crypto and blockchain applications and drive mainstream adoption. One analyst said, in fact, it may just be the boost that crypto needs to push the whole market forward. As of now, it's that nerd in your office and your cool cousin who is talking about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all the rest of it. But if something as mainstream as Facebook were to introduce this idea, can you imagine what kind of a boost it would give to other cryptocurrencies? They might get bored of the face coin, so they'll be like, you know what, I want to try out something else that is in the market. And there it is, a whole bunch of options. For now, though, India is slated to be ground zero for the latest exercise in what we will no doubt be hearing a whole lot more about. Now, there's a primer on what could become a game changer for both Facebook and its audience, which is increasingly all of the world. If the world is a global village, it appears increasingly that our medium of interaction, our currency of exchange, our terms of engagement, and the village pool by which to gather and share will all be created, and dictated by a book of faces. If Moses, all those years ago, brought a tablet of commandments from God himself from the burning bush and that went on to alter the life of man, Marcus Zuckerbergus in the 21st century brought us a book of faces from a Harvard dorm that may have just altered the life of man just as much, if not more. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.